continuing to talk about what does Jesus do for us. And today we need to understand that Jesus died for us. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us, folks. And it's nothing that we could do too bad to stop God's love from sending His Son to die for you and me. And it's that love that we're going to talk about. It's that peace that the Lord has for us that we're going to look at in Colossians 1 and verse 19 through 23. And look and see what the Lord has to say to your heart and mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for today, the Lord. We thank You that we can be in Your house to serve You, to worship You, to exalt You, as Chris was saying, the Lord, to sing songs of praise to You, the Lord. And God, as the last song they sang, God, You are a great God. And God, it is something that we can glory in. It's something that we can praise the Lord about. It's something that we can say hallelujah about, the Lord, because of Your greatness and Your goodness, the Lord. You've never done us nothing but good. And God, we thank You for that, God. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for what You have done for us, the Lord, and Father, the peace that You give us, the Lord, that only comes from You. And God, the world is looking for peace, and those are looking for peace in so many ways, the Lord, but they can't find it. But God, You are a God of peace. And Lord, we're going to look at that today and what You've done for us, and God, how we can apply Your word to our life. God, we welcome You into this place, the Lord. We invite You to visit with us today. God, I pray that You'd bind Satan and demons and workers up, the Lord, and opposition, and cast them outside of here. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to work in our lives and in our heart. Lord, as we open up Your word is precious. God, it is Your word, and I pray for Your anointing over the reading of Your word this morning, that God, You would hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Use us, the Lord, to speak the words that You desire to say to our congregation of friends and family and loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ today, that God, You would be honored. That the Lord, that we won't be the same as what we walked in here. As the Lord, that we'll be refreshed, revived, and renewed and excited about doing ministry when we leave here today. God, that we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And God, thank You again for the peace and the love and the harmony that we're experiencing, God, and maturing in You. And God, we thank You for that. God, we ask You to go before us now and pave the way. May Your word, the Lord, not return to You void, but God, accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to You today. God, we invite You here. We welcome You here, Lord. We love You. We praise You. And God, we give You honor. We give You glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 19 through 20. What does Jesus do for us? Jesus died for us. What does He do for us? I want us to look at those verses of Scripture and look at verses 19 through 23 and see what they said. And we know that in verse 18 and before that, it talks about the preeminence of God and God being the head of the church and the head of everything that goes on. And Jesus is to be exalted, and He's the one to be lifted up on high. He's the one that we come to serve and worship and give the glory and the honor to. He is the head of everything we do or should do in the church and in our lives, to give Him preeminence, give Him full rule and reign in our life today. But pick up with me in verse 19 through 23. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. It said, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through the death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister." When I look at these verses of Scripture and I see this, I see, what does Jesus do for us? Jesus died for us. And I go back and I look at these verses of Scripture in verse 19. If you're taking notes, who is Jesus? Who is He? What did He come to do? Why is He here? Why do we serve? Why do we worship a living Savior? Why do we come today? Who is Jesus? And I feel these verses of Scripture explain a little little bit about who he is. In verse 19 it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." There's a couple of things that the Lord pricked my heart about this week. And I often go back and do a word study with you guys and gals about what the words in the scripture means and what the Greek and Hebrew terminology of that is, so that we can grasp a clear understanding of what the Lord is telling us, what the Lord is showing us in his word. If you're taking notes, as I said, number one, in that verse of scripture in verse 19, we need to understand that in him dwells the fullness of God. Who is Jesus? He is God himself. Who is he? The fullness of God dwells in Jesus himself. He is fully God. He is fully human. The fullness of God dwells in him. In Colossians 2:9, it tells us that for in him dwelleth all the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwells all the fullness of God. In Jesus, he has the attributes, the characteristics of God the Father. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three intimacies, but they're one. He is in the fullness of God. So we see in that verse that he's the fullness. But when I look back and I see a couple things in these verses that dwell the fullness of the God, it's the word fullness in the Greek word is where we get our word plenitude from. It's the Greek word where we get plenitude from. It denotes the totality of divine powers and attributes that reside in Jesus. The same power, the same attributes that are in God reside in the Son. The same attributes and the qualities that he has is the same attributes that Jesus has in himself. That same power that God has is the same power he gave to Jesus. The same power that he exhibits, the same attributes that he has, is the same that is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has those same powers. He has those same attributes. And so we see that the word dwell, it means to permanently reside. So not only does God, not only it manifests himself in Jesus, not only does Jesus carry on those attributes and personalities, but they're permanent part of him. They dwell in him. When it says dwell, that means they reside in him. My friend, as a child of God here today, as a Christian, my friend, those attributes that Jesus has, those qualities that the Lord has, should reside in our lives too, should dwell in us. We should have a desire to take on those characteristics, a desire to take on those attributes, to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like, to carry out those characteristics of the Father should be in us as he instilled in his Son, Jesus. We should have those same qualities. To dwell means to permanently reside. The divine attributes that Jesus possessed were not temporary. Some of those were teaching back in the day that they were temporary things. They were not temporary. They were permanent from the Father, instilled in the Son. Those attributes are permanent. Not only that, but as a child of God, as a Christian, when we accept Jesus in our heart to be our Lord and Savior, those attributes of Christ-like, Christian means Christ-like, should dwell in us permanently, should dwell in us, should reside in us permanently. We don't one day put on Jesus and the next day take him off just because of what we want to do in the world. We don't just say he's not like a cheap perfume, spray it on today and leave it off tomorrow. He's a permanent part of us. Amen? Amen. Are you with me this morning? Do you need me to wake you up? Amen. Do you understand those qualities that God had instilled in Jesus are permanent qualities? They reside in us. They're permanent. They're to take up residence in us. My friend, it's not something that we come in on a Sunday and we put on, and when we walk out, we forget God on Sunday night and Wednesday. We should have, amen on me. Y'all getting quiet on me. Amen. Is God first in your life or is he second? Is God first in your life or is he second place? Awesome. Then that means I see y'all back here tonight. And that means I see y'all back here Wednesday. You just said, amen, God's first in your life.
That's right. Come on.
Y'all got weak. Y'all got weak. You just said God's first in your life. Amen. You just said over here that God's first in your life.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, good. I'll see you tonight. See you Wednesday. God's first in our lives, those attributes of the Lord are permanent. They are to reside and dwell in us. Amen? Amen. They are to be a part of who we are and dwell in us. They're not something that are temporary. Not something that you just hold on today and throw aside tomorrow. It's something that's real and lasting. I tell you all the time, you might be the only Bible that the Lord is reading. You might be the only Bible that somebody is reading. What are they seeing in your life? How are they directing you? How are you directing them? How are they leading or being led by you when they see those things in your life? Can they say, wow, I don't know what they got, but I want some of it. And they come and say, man, you're always happy. Man, you're always excited. Man, you're doing this. Hey, I see you leave out a couple times on Sunday and Wednesday. Where are you going when you get home from work? I see you, man, when you come home, you're in rags and all that. You get a shower, clean up, and you head out. Where are you going? Where are you going? You know, and you can let them know, this is what's going on. This is what's in my life. Jesus is a part of my life. Oh, listen to me. These divine attributes are to be a part of our life and who we are as children of God. Oh, listen, the scripture teaches that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was born of a virgin birth with a human body and in a sinless human nature. Remember who Jesus is. Jesus was completely God, but he was completely human. We need to remember who the Lord was. Not only that, when you go on down, you look at verse 20. If you're taking notes, what did he do? What did he do? Look at verse 20. It said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, he died for you and me to reconcile us to him. He died to reconcile us. To reconcile in the Greek and Hebrew means to bring back into a proper relationship. You see, sin in our life has put us at odds with the Lord. Sin in our life has put us at odds with Jesus. Sin in our life breaks fellowship with the Lord. And God sent Jesus to reconcile us. God sent Jesus to reconcile us, to bring us back, to bring us back to a part of the family of God, to bring us back to reunite us with the Lord and things that are of a Christian nature. He brings us back to reconcile us. Oh, listen to me. Jesus, through the work on his cross, he bridged the gap between us and God. On the cross, he bridged that gap. He made a way for us to get to the Father. He made a way for us to get to the Lord. He provided a way for God to reconcile us to himself, for Jesus to reconcile us unto him. He bridged that gap that was between the Lord and us because of sin. Jesus paid the price, making it possible to have a relationship with him. Peace. Peace is the absence of hostility. Peace is the absence of hostility. Peace is to bind things together. This peace will be with the believer. It will be with the believer. There are ways and attributes that you see that this happens. What did Jesus do for us? Oh, he will reign in our hearts. He will reign in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 1:3, what does it say? It says, grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. The peace of God will rule and reign in your heart and my heart as a believer. God exhibits those qualities from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he will keep his heart and our hearts and our thoughts in tune with the Lord. He will keep us in tune with him. In Colossians 3:15, he goes and says, and let the peace of God rule where? Rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. People are looking for peace all around the world. They're looking for peace in every avenue that they can think that they can find it in. But God wants to rule in our hearts. If we want true peace, lasting peace, let the Lord in. Let him in. Let him take control of your life. Let him exhibit himself in our life. It said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Called into one body. God, thank you for the peace. God, let your peace rule in our hearts. God, we are called into one body. God, thank you for the body of Christ that you have placed us in. God, thank you for what you're doing. God, thank you for the peace that rules in here. God, thank you for the absence of hostility. Oh, listen, I see it all around the world and all around our community. Hostility in the churches. My friend, friend, that's the reason half the churches ain't full today, because Christian people don't know how to get along with one another. I don't understand it. How do we think we're going to get along in heaven if we can't get along on earth? Amen. Oh, listen to me. We got to have the peace rule in our hearts. And if you allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, there will be an absence of hostility, because God is ruling in your heart. God is ruling and reigning in our life, because it's not about us. It's about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about putting the Lord first. Oh, listen to me. So many times we think we're the boss, and so many times we want to be in charge of things. And yeah, when we become in charge of things and we become the boss, we make a mess of everything. But as verse 18 says, prior to what we read, that God is the head of the church. That God is the one that we rule and reign with. That God is the one that ought to be head and Lord and boss of your life and my life. As a Christian, we invite Jesus into our heart. It is Him that rules and reigns in our life. Oh, there are times that we think that we're in control, my friend, and when we get to that area, things begin to happen that are not pleasing to the Lord. He wants us to take those things to the altar, give them to the Lord, and be like Isaiah. Lord, when we leave, here am I. Send me, Lord. Hear my, use me. God, take control of my life. Use me, Lord. Oh, and when we move to a side and we allow God to take control of our life, God begins to bless. God begins to bless. We begin to experience that peace and that humility that the Lord wants us to experience. And let the peace of God, in that verse of scripture, said in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Not only that, but the peace of God directly comes from Jesus Himself. He tells us in Philippians 4:7, He tells us in that verse of scripture, He said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, the peace of God. We need to ask God. God, take control of our hearts. God, take control of our minds. God, bring it under the submission and power, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God, let me take on the Christian attributes that You exhibited. God, just as Jesus took on those attributes of You, then Lord, let us take on those attributes of Jesus, so that we can be used for His honor and glory, so we can experience peace, love, and harmony that only God can give. And thank the Lord for the love and the harmony and the peace that is exhibited amongst brothers and sisters in Christ when they let Jesus rule and reign in their hearts and minds. It can happen. Christian churches and people all over the country that are experiencing these things can experience the love, peace, and harmony if they allow Jesus to rule and reign in their hearts and their minds. They can experience that. Oh, listen, experiencing what the Lord does. Not only that, it's the same peace that Jesus enjoys. It is His peace, according to John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world giveth. The world offers up all kind of stuff for peace, but it's not in the world. It's in the Lord and Savior Jesus. It's not in this world. It's in the Lord. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's about the Lord. You want to experience peace, harmony, and love? You can experience it in Jesus when you give Him your heart and your mind and your soul. You can experience in that. And the churches across the world, my friend, that are at odds with one another, if they allow God to be head of the church and they allow peace to rule in their minds and heart, they can experience love and harmony. As I said, oh, they can't even do it on earth. What do they think they're going to do when they get into heaven? Boy, are they going to be in for a surprise. Amen. I like to experience it now, my friends, so I can get a taste of what it's going to be like there. So that I can get a taste of wanting to be a part of what we're going to experience in there by experiencing here, my friend, and letting Jesus rule and reign in our hearts like He wants to. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but there's nothing that can rob us of our peace. In John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. He conquered it for you and me. There's no tribulation. There's nothing that can rob you of your joy. Oh, I'm sure there's some individuals and there's some places in your jobs and family and such of that want to rob you of your joy, but won't let it do it. Take the power in the victory in Jesus. Take the power. These things I've spoken unto you that are in me yet might have peace. In this world you should have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, listen, give it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Give our hearts and minds to Him, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts, rule in our minds, and rule in who we are. And you can experience that love, that peace and joy, regardless of where it is, regardless of whether it's in your school, regardless of whether it's at your job, regardless whether it's with your family, regardless of whether it's with your church, whatever. My friend, Jesus has overcome it. Experience the joy and be of good cheer. He's overcome it. Let God rule and reign in your life. Let Him be the one that is in charge. Oh, Jennifer came Sunday and she said, "Pastor Tim, will you pray for me?" I said, "Sure." She said, "I'm going through some things. I'm looking for a job." She said, "Would you pray for me?" We prayed for Jennifer. And let me tell you, in an economy where people said there ain't no jobs available, we prayed for Jennifer, and Monday Jennifer got a job. Amen. Monday Jennifer got a job. We prayed for Leonard. Where's Leonard at? We prayed for Leonard about a job. And also Monday, a job opportunity came to Leonard. This is an economy where people said there ain't no work, where there's no jobs, you can't find nothing. When you turn it over to the Lord and you turn it over to Him and you ask God to lead, God and protect, and you ask God to give you direction and you mean it in your heart and you pray about it, look what the Lord can do. Look what the Lord can do. Peace of God rule in your heart. Peace of God rule in your heart. When you give your heart and your mind to the Lord and you set out, "God, you know I need you to take care of me. God, you know what I'm going through. God, I need a job." God provides, and it's always on time. God provides, and it's always on time. God is in control. He's overcome the world. Oh, not only that, but it is an external evidence of an internal residence of the Holy Spirit when you exhibit peace. When you exhibit peace, my friend, it speaks volumes. It is an external evidence of an internal residence that the Holy Spirit resides in you when you experience the Lord. When you experience His peace, it will come out of you. When the Lord is in you, it will come out. Those attributes will come out, my friend, externally of what is placed internally in your heart from the Lord. Oh, listen to me. Those attributes in Galatians 5 in verse 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love." It's love, and it's joy, and it's what? Peace, and it's long-suffering, and it's gentleness, and it's goodness, and what? Faith. He goes on to say in verse 23, what is it? Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Bringing ourselves under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing ourselves under Him to exhibit that peace and that love and that harmony that can be found in the Lord Jesus. Jesus Himself is our peace. In Ephesians 2:14, Jesus Himself is our peace. He said, "For He is what? Our peace." Jesus Himself is what? Our peace. "And He hath made both," what? "One. And He have broken down the middle wall of partition between us." It's Jesus that offers us that peace. It is Him that we have access to the throne of God. It's through Jesus when we pray to Him and when we come to Him. Jesus is that propitiation for us. He is that lawyer for us. He is that advocate for us, that when we bring it to Him, we experience peace because He takes it to the Father. He said, "This is my child. Calling upon me." He takes it to the Father. He broke that down, that middle wall that was between us. Oh, my friend, the only way that middle wall comes back is when we allow sin into our life. Then we have that middle wall built back that separates us from the love of God. When we bring back hostility in our life, when we bring back those moanings and groanings and complaining, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and that wall begins to go up. But through Jesus, He tore down that wall. He broke down that middle wall, my friends, and He broke down that partition, and it was in Him that we experienced peace. For He is our peace. In Jesus, He is our peace. You won't find it anywhere else, but you can find true peace in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can exhibit and find that peace in Him. He breaks down that wall for you and me. Not only that, but when you look at verse 21, if you take a note, why did He die for us? Why did He die for us? Look at verse 21. Look what it says. It says, in you that were sometimes alienated, and what? Enemies in where? Your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Now hath He reconciled. We were alienated. We were alienated. Yeah, that is our position and our state of being. It denotes a point of isolation, loneliness, and a deep sense of longing. Oh, and belonging to something. It means to be estranged or cut off. It means to be separated, hostile in mind. This defines our attitude towards God. There is our attitude toward Him. We were enemies of Him. We did not want nothing to do with the Lord. There are folks that are enemies of God, don't want nothing to do with Him. But thank God for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that can convict our lives and change that attitude. Oh, listen, but this is where we were and what state we were in at one time. Oh, listen to me. Those who do not know Jesus live outside a relationship of Him or experiencing that. But oh, listen, God loves us, my friend. He loves us. Why? Why did He die for us? And you know, Romans 5:8 tells us about that love. But God commanded His love towards us in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I don't understand how He can love somebody that didn't love Him. I don't understand how He can die for me as a sinner and you as a sinner. I don't understand how he can die for the sins of this whole world. But the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. He did it for you and me. And thank the Lord that He did it for us. Thank the Lord that He died for us. Thank the Lord that He sent His Son for us. We were alienated from Him. We were disgraced by Him. We were apart from Him. But He loved us enough that He seen that He wanted to reconcile us. He seen that we needed to be saved. He wanted to bring peace into our life. And He did that through the Son. He did that through Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Oh, listen to me. Romans 5:10 says this. For if when we were what? Enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God by the death of a son. Much more being what? Reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Why did He die for you and me? To save us. To save us. Scripture says that He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He died for us to save us. We were enemies. But we were reconciled to God by the death of a son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. By the life that Jesus gave. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb, spotless Lamb of God that gave His life for you and me. There had to be a sacrifice, my friend, for sin. And God sent Jesus to be that sacrifice for sin for you and me so we can experience a life of eternity. So that we can live forever if we make Jesus Lord of our life. So that we can live forever if we ask Jesus in our heart to be our Lord and Savior. That's why He died for us. He died for us so that we can have a relationship with Him and that we can spend eternity with Him in a place called heaven. He loved us. He died for us to experience that life in Him. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but number four, when I look back at verse 20, how did He do this? How did He do this for you and me? Look back at verse 20. He said, and having made peace through the what? Blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He did this. He reconciled us through the blood of the cross, through the blood of the Lamb that was shed up on the cross of Calvary. Paul wants to make it abundantly clear that it was the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross of Calvary that can save a soul and a sinner like you and me. Oh, he tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get there. There's only one way to get there. How did he do it? He did it through the cross, my friends. There's only one way to get there. He did it through the cross. As I said in Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for us. He did it through the cross, my friends. He did it through there. That's how, my friend, he did it, was through the cross. Oh, listen to me in verse 22. He goes on to say, in the body of his flesh, through the death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Through the flesh that was ripped to pieces, beaten by the cat of nine tails. Through the beating that he took, the plucking of his beard. My friend, the crown of thorns shoved upon his head. The spear that was in his side. The nails that he took in his hands and feet. It was by his flesh that he presented his body unto death so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. It's in him, my friend. And it's through that that he presents you and me holy and unblameable before the Lord. He presents you as a child of God, holy and unblameable before him, my friend, as a child of the King. When Jesus, when he's with the Father and Satan's trying to come against you and Satan's throwing out lies to God, and Jesus is standing there and says, no, that's my child. I died for them. The blood of Jesus covers them. They've accepted me as their Lord and Savior. Satan, you got to go. And he presents us to God holy and unblameable because the shed blood of Jesus covers us and it covers a multitude of sin. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Oh, he did it through the cross of Calvary. Not only that, but number five, why did he do it? Why did Jesus die for us? He died for us because of the Father's love. He died for us because of the Father's love that he had for you and me. Jesus suffered God's wrath in your place. My friend, he died for us. He suffered the wrath of God in our place. Oh, listen to me. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. In Romans 5:17, it goes to say, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the one Jesus Christ. We shall reign for all eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We accept him as our Lord and Savior. We will rule and reign. Because Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, you and I have the promise of victory, of a rising one day, to live with him for all eternity, my friends. We will rise because he rose. We will rise. We are victors in Jesus. We experience peace in the Lord. Oh, listen to me. I do 1 Thessalonians 4, and you've heard me quote it 13 and following all the time, where it says that one day there'll be a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and it said the dead in Christ will rise first. And it said we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet those in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I can find comfort. I can find peace in knowing that one day I'm going to be with Jesus. As it said in 17, mark that back up there. As it said in that verse 17, that he's going to have, at the 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But as it said up there, mark that up there, you've seen it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the peace. That's the comfort. That's the promise that you and I have as the children of God, that's for eternity. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, the eternity that we experience in Him. One day we will stand before God. And each of us will give, my friend, account for the works and the words and for every part of our lives. We will stand before the Lord. But my friend, we will stand before the Lord unblameable, because God's going to see the blood of Jesus that covers our life. That covers our life. It covers the multitude of sin, so that we can stand before Him and all God will see is the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life. My friend, it don't matter about being a Baptist. It don't matter about being a Catholic. It don't matter about being Episcopalian or whatever you want to call it. It don't matter about religion. You can have all the religion you want to have and die and spend eternity in hell. It don't matter about baptism. The thief on the cross was saved and he wasn't baptized. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We are to want to do it, to follow through with the relationship that we've made with the Lord. But baptism ain't going to get you into hell. It's only symbolic about what you've done with Jesus in your heart. That's what's going to get you into heaven. God's looking down for heaven to see if the blood of Jesus has been applied. Not about are you a part of a certain congregation or religion. That's not cutting the mustard. Are you a part of Jesus for eternity? That's what gets you into heaven. What have you done with Jesus? Have you made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? If you've been a point in time in your life where you invited Jesus into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, that's how you get into heaven. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." There's only one way. One way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. One way. That's all the way that we're going to get there. Not only that, what evidence is there? What evidence is there in the last verse? In verse 23, it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which you have preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Again, I go back and challenge you to look at the Greek and Hebrew and study and do a word study in the verses that you hear. And you can find it on Google. It'll help you out. How can we know that He accomplished His purpose in dying for us? The word "if" in this verse, if, y'all see that? In verse 23, "if you continue in faith," you see it up there? That's the first word, "if." "If" means in the Greek and Hebrew, "since." It means since you continue in your faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. That "if" is "since." Paul's affirmation is that since they have been reconciled, that they remain faithful. If the Lord Jesus is real in our lives, my friend, and He has taken residence up in our heart, then, my friend, there is no "if," it's "since." It's since Jesus has come into my life. It's since Jesus has come into my life. It's since I've made Him Lord of my life. It's since then that I'm faithful to Him. It's since then that I'm faithful to read His Word. It's since then that I'm faithful to have a prayer time. I'm faithful to have a quiet time. I'm faithful to attend the house of the Lord. It's since then, Paul's affirmation is that since they have been reconciled, they will remain faithful. Paul is confident that those that are truly in Christ Jesus will not stray away from the faith. Those that are truly in Christ Jesus will not stray away from the faith. They will be faithful, faithful in obedience, because it is consistent with a new nature. They will continue in their faith because they have a new direction in life. They will continue in their faith because they have a new disposition in their life. They will continue because they have a new mindset. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." You have a new mindset in Him. You have a new outlook on life that gives you a desire that wants to please God. Is there anybody in here today that wants to please the Lord and give a desire to please Him? He gives you that new outlook. He gives you that new desire. I got somebody excited in the house of God. Gives that to you, that you want to please Him, that you want to have a desire to do what pleases God. The hope of the gospel. There was hope that is based based on the gospel that Jesus was born of a virgin birth. He lived a sinless life. He died a victorious death. He rose in a glorious resurrection. And he wants to live in your life, in my life, if we will allow him to. Oh, listen to me. You want to experience peace? You want to experience love? You want to experience harmony? Do these things. Take on these attributes. Take on these qualities that Jesus himself exhibited, that the Father instilled in him, that he wants to instill in you and me. And those things are permanent. Those things are permanent. They're not temporary. You just don't take them off and put them on when you want to. Those things should be a permanency of our life. And if Danny keeps doing this over here, he's going to get me in a shouting fit. I'm going to go and preach another hour, Danny. You keep on doing that stuff. You know, that's like a bulldog saying sickle to me. Oh, listen. We should experience those attributes in our life when we allow Jesus to rule and reign in our life. Those characteristics are to show forth in you and me. That's what people are seeing. That's what the world is looking at. They want to find a way to Jesus. They're looking in many ways. You and I have the answer. Let Jesus live out loud in you and me. Let him live loud in you and me. Let him out. Unleash the Lord out of you. He wants for people to see himself manifest in you. Open it up and let him go. Amen. Oh, listen, maybe you're here and never made Jesus Lord of your life. That's the first thing he wants you to do. Open up your heart and allow him in. Allow him in so he can put these attributes in your life that he wants to exhibit in your life and mine. Oh, he says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let him in. Open up. He's knocking. Oh, maybe there's some attributes in your life that are not of the Lord. And he wants to replace them with Galatians 5:22-23. He wants to replace them and put in there love, peace, joy, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, and things of that nature. He wants to put in you so that you can show those qualities to those that are around you. Oh, won't you trade in your qualities and let the Lord put in his qualities in your life? Oh, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. I don't know. This congregation would love to be your home and your family of God, and I'd love to be your pastor. Whatever it is, maybe you need to come and pray about something. Let God rule and reign in your hearts today. Will you?